Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, yo, Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, welcome to the show where we don't sing it, we bring it. Help us out and click subscribe to show your support. While you're at it, if you're a YouTube user, make sure you enable notifications so they let you know every time a new episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast goes up. Guys, let's talk. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. When I try Blue Chew, I really notice something extra. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door. It's in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy. The best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the United States, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment absolutely free when you use our special promo code, FROPODCAST. Just pay the $5 shipping fee. Again, that's Blue, B-L-U-E, Chew.com, promo code FROPODCAST to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. If you want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family, you want your name in the shoutouts like Mike and Hatfield, then make sure you tune in to patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast. Sign up today. Don't forget, we have loyalty rewards. Any $15 a month contributor gets to co-host an episode of one of our live shows, and our $7.50 a month contributors can get entered into a drawing to do the same. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this live episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. We'll be taking your questions, your comments, anything you want to talk about through either the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line, 267-642-1160. It is a talk-to-text service. You talk, it texts it to us, and we will get to those questions in a future episode. If you want to chat with us live, like my buddy John the Sports Guy tonight, tuning in from Marfa, Texas, then go to whatever chat function your streaming service uses, and you can get your questions right into the show. Make sure you tell us who you are so we can give you credit for your contributions. Don't forget to head over to the homepage of the Fro Wrestling Podcast by going to FroWrestling.com, where you can preview all the topics coming to our shows. It's a great way to come up with the questions, the things you want to ask us, and make sure, again, you give us your information when you tune into any of our sites so that we can give you credit in our shows. Tonight, all sorts of things going on in the wrestling world. We're going to talk about as many of them as we can, but the big one that came out only a little while ago is that there has been a huge shift in the betting odds for the WrestleMania Universal Championship match. I think it has been generally accepted across the wrestling world that Seth Rollins is the man to slay the beast. He's the man who's going to take down Brock Lesnar. Brock is going to trot off into the sunset, go to UFC, face Daniel Cormier, and Seth Rollins is going to represent that marquee wrestler on the red brand for the foreseeable future. Here's the issue. typically you can read a lot when you watch the trends in Las Vegas and the betting sites about who they believe is going to win different matches. Well, up until today, Seth Rollins has been the minus 115 favorite to the Brock Lesnar plus 220, roughly, betting odds. What that means is if you bet $100 on Seth Rollins, or I apologize, on Brock Lesnar, you can win 220. If you bet, you have to bet 125 on Seth Rollins to win 100. So what happened was today, Brock Lesnar is now the favorite to retain the Universal Championship at a minus 125 to Seth Rollins minus 115. Now, those are very close odds. It's almost a pick 'em. I don't understand the booking of keeping the championship on Brock Lesnar unless they are going to try to cram Roman Reigns down our throat once again, which I think would be a colossal mistake and a huge issue for the WWE fans after you've had so much buildup. Seth Rollins has earned the opportunity and the right to be the Universal Champion and be the representative of the red brand. He's done it all. Whether you go all the way back to the original debut of The Shield, where he was one of the enforcers of The Shield, he was pretty much, he and Reigns were the tag team. If you remember, Dean Ambrose was the U.S. champion. They were the tag champions. It was always Seth Rollins being the hard worker. Then when they progressed and he became the guy who broke away from The Shield, he became WWE champion, blew out the knee, you know, had his huge moment when he cashed in Money in the Bank at WrestleMania. Like, he's had all these accolades in the past year, winning tag team championships with Jason Jordan, winning them with Dean Ambrose, winning the Intercontinental Championship and making that the flagship championship on the red brand. All those things that have happened have made it so that Seth Rollins is in the perfect position to lead the brand. But now it looks like, according to those in Vegas and those who make the odds, that somebody believes that they're still planning on potentially keeping that belt on Brock Lesnar. I don't get that. I don't understand that. I think it's a horrible decision. Now, if you're looking to build, now somebody had mentioned, well, maybe, just maybe, they want to put Brock Lesnar in a triple threat with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins at the Saudi Arabia show, which, by the way, was supposed to take place May 3rd, has been moved into, I believe, June or July, something of that nature, because they couldn't settle on a venue. But if that's the plan, it's still a horrible plan. Put the belt on Seth Rollins. For the next couple months, we could still see the title defended on Raw. We could see the Universal Championship that, yes, when Kevin Owens won the championship, was displayed on Raw. But since that match, that Universal title has never been defended on Raw. That's ludicrous. It is the red brand's premier belt, but no one has defended it on that brand. It's really not a Raw championship if it's never defended on Raw. It's not a pay-per-view champion. If that was the case, if WWE had like a WWE pay-per-view champion, that would be fine. That's not what this is supposed to be. It's supposed to be the week-to-week main championship on the red brand, and we never get to see it because they give it to a guy who they've only signed to make a few limited appearances and pay tons of money to. And again, I've said in the past, like, I'm never upset, and I know I'm in the minority here, but I'm never upset at Brock Lesnar for not showing up more. He made a contract. They agreed to the terms. He's living out the terms of the contract. But if you're WWE, don't make that contract. And if Brock Lesnar isn't willing to work more dates, even if you pay him more money or whatever it takes, then don't sign Brock Lesnar. I understand he's a marquee attraction. I get that. I understand there's some mainstream crossover with UFC. I get that too. But your pure fans, the real hardcore WWE fans, want to see the Universal Championship defended on Raw on a relatively regular basis. We should not have to depend on the Intercontinental title, no matter how illustrious that championship is, to be the flagship of the company. We should depend on the Universal Championship. Other news of the day, other huge news, Jim Ross officially announces what was described as the most lucrative deal in the history of wrestling broadcast with All Elite Wrestling. It's a 3-year deal. He's made it very clear they are very close to securing their television deal. It's imminent. His signing is huge, and he also has made reference to that he's going to be taking on somewhat of an advisor role with the company as well. With all his experience in talent relations and other jobs he held at WWE, it sets him up to be very influential in AEW product. Congratulations to Jim Ross. He's one of the most talented men in the history of this business, and WWE was absolutely wasting him for the better part of a year and a half. Really, he's done nothing important, at least from a WWE side. Now, I would argue that his commentary in New Japan has been flawless. If you tune into Access Television and watch New Japan Pro Wrestling, episodes from before Wrestle Kingdom this year, when Jim Ross was doing commentary, you would find that he still has all the skill that he always had going all the way back to Mid-South days. He's still one of the, if not the best play-by-play man in the history of the business. So, Greg, I'm very happy to see Jim Ross officially signed. Not that we didn't all see it coming, but it's great to know that the deal is done. Another major signing today, Rob Van Dam officially has signed with Impact Wrestling. He made it clear in his comments about the signing that at first it was just, we want you to come to the United We Stand show, which, by the way, takes place tomorrow night. Make sure you tune in. He will team up with Sabu to take on the Lucha Brothers in a, you know, an extreme hardcore dream tag team match. But then they started to talk about, well, you know, what are you doing on these dates and that date and this taping and what about other dates? And he realized that he could make their incredibly favorable schedule work. And he's coming back to the company on, I don't want to say a more permanent basis, but certainly as a recurring character. And I love this idea. Let's face it, WWE, to their credit, they are very strict about who they will let perform. That's why people like Christian, like Daniel Bryan for a long time, and Rob Van Dam don't perform on the brand because they've had concussion issues and other medical situations that preclude WWE from allowing them to compete. However, Rob Van Dam still competes on the indie circuit all the time. Obviously, Impact Wrestling does not have the same stance WWE does with regards to who they will and won't let compete. Rob Van Dam, he insists he doesn't have a lot of after effects like CTE. I don't know how he would think he can know that. He's admitted that he has headache issues from time to time, memory loss. Those are all signs of CTE, but whatever. He wants to continue his career. Impact's willing to let him do that. More power to him. I'm glad to see RVD in any ring because he's one of the classiest, most incredible high-risk takers in the history of the business, and I'm glad to see him get in the ring. All kinds of crazy plans are being discussed for the WrestleMania main event, the triple threat for the now Raw and SmackDown Women's Championship. There's been discussion about having Becky Lynch pin Ronda Rousey, walking out as Raw Women's Champion, but leaving Charlotte as SmackDown Women's Champion, allowing us to have a champion on both brands. Then they switched it when they made it this winner take all. Now whoever wins is supposed to walk out with both championships. There has been some discussion about Ronda Rousey actually winning the SmackDown Women's Championship and that this would be the catalyst to how you move her to SmackDown for this Fox television debut. The other thought process was Charlotte Flair walking out with both championships. So you notice there's a out for all three of these women to win. Now, if you look at the odds makers, Becky Lynch is like the hands down odds on favorite to win. Charlotte's like the plus 1280, meaning you could bet $100 and win $1,280 if she happened to walk out with both belts. That's probably not going to happen. I don't think it's ever happened. Ronda Rousey, much closer odds. She's like a plus 100, whereas Becky Lynch is like a minus 400. So yeah, bet $400 to win $100 on Becky Lynch because everybody pretty much knows Becky Lynch is walking out with some gold. The question is, how do they do this? And what are the plans going forward? Because we've heard about Ronda leaving, but Ronda has refuted those plans, saying that that wasn't the case. So we don't know if she's leaving to start a family with her husband or if she's sticking around. There are other people who think that maybe this is an opportunity. If somehow you get Charlotte and Becky to represent the two brands and you have the tag team championship on Bayley and Sasha Banks, that this could be a catalyst for that horsewoman match. That possibly at Mania, the other three horsewomen could come out and support Ronda Rousey. That would be an interesting swerve. I think fans would be upset. I think fans really just wanted to see Ronda and Becky. They've been forced to watch Charlotte. They don't want to see anybody else. Now, if the match is over and then we get that, I think they would love that. So more power to WWE if that's the direction they go. But at this point, it looks like there's very few ways for somebody to walk out with two different champions. It looks like they're going to unify the belts at this show. And then the plan is down the road to split them in some way. I'll be curious to see how they do that. But at the end of the day, the big word is that even the higher-ups in WWE still don't know the finish and still don't know the final plan. Vince will probably be the one who makes the big decision, and who knows when he's going to make up his mind. The Usos also in the news today signing new contracts with WWE. Everybody thought maybe they'd be moving over to All Elite Wrestling. They have great connections with some of the guys there. There's been some dream matches people have talked about them having there against the Young Bucks, etc., etc. Maybe a match with the Lucha Brothers. Well, those aren't going to happen. They have re-upped with WWE for the foreseeable future, and my understanding is a sizable pay increase. And that's a good thing for a lot of reasons. One, people hypothesize that maybe they split the two up and see how they do as singles at some point, and that paying them a huge monetary increase would be one way to incentivize them to take a step away from the tag team division. The other theory is that they are so good as a tag team that it's kind of like a throwback to the 80s and early 90s when tag team wrestling mattered, that it mattered to stay with the same partner for your entire career. And I like that. I'm actually more in favor of that. I don't want to see them split up. I would like to see them freshen up their character every once in a while. Right now, this whole, you know, Uso thing, this thug life almost persona has kind of run its course. I would like to see something new introduced or some other way to present them, but we'll have to wait and see. I don't even mind if they go back to the face paint. I actually like that, the half face paint stuff they used to do. But either way, congrats to them getting a new contract. It'll be really weird to see what happens with Naomi, as vocal as she has been about her displeasure with the way the women's division's been treating and the fact that she's married to Jimmy Uso. So it'll be very curious to see if her situation, her contract, goes maybe a little differently than her husband's. But who knows? We'll have to wait and see. Rey Mysterio, the big word coming out of Monday Night Raw. Rey Mysterio was supposed to face Andrade on SmackDown. Unfortunately, that match did not take place. They confirmed that he has an ankle injury. If you go to his Twitter or his Instagram account, what you'll find is he has a slow motion video of when the injury took place on Raw. So he's, you know, Baron Corbin is flipping him over his shoulder, and as he comes down, his right ankle seems to plant in a very weird way. It doesn't look like a break. It just looks like one of those things that would sprain your ankle. So there's question about whether or not he can make it back to the ring in time for WrestleMania. All the other superstars have come out, Finn Balor, Ricochet, Noam Dar, all these people popping onto his webpage, giving him encouragement that he can get ready for this for Sunday, but we don't know. And what's really weird is, we still know that John Cena is going to do something at the show. The Undertaker is in New York City. Lars Sullivan hasn't been spotted, but they said his return is absolutely imminent. So there's a lot of possibilities for somebody who could jump in and fill Rey Mysterio's spot if he's not able to perform. The natural selection would be John Cena. He has if you go way back in his career, he has a history with Samoa Joe. Those two used to tear it down when they were in UPW before they got famous in WWE. That would be kind of cool to see. Have him step up and challenge for the United States Championship, potentially even win the championship. I wouldn't do that. I would give it to Joe. But there's also the possibility that somebody else comes out and takes Rey Mysterio's place. Well, now who could that be? Could it be The Undertaker? Could it be somebody like the situation where Baron Corbin got laid out by Kurt Angle after the match with Rey Mysterio on Raw? Maybe Baron Corbin can't go, and now Samoa Joe is freed up to wrestle Kurt Angle at WrestleMania. I find that one a little harder to believe just because they just did that match on Raw and saw Kurt Angle beat Samoa Joe, which I know they do that sometimes ahead of a championship match so that the challenger looks more convincing that he could beat the champion. And then when they get to Mania, they lose. Would make sense, but at least it would be a better send-off for Kurt Angle than Baron Corbin. I am pulling for the Cena option. There are many other options, and you could really bring in a whole lot of different people to jump in and take that spot. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. If Rey Mysterio really is as injured as some people are saying, his match could be in jeopardy. Huge WWE name confirmed for StarCast 2. Kurt Angle will be at StarCast, as will people like Chris Cyborg was just announced. Even brand new Hall of Famer Brutus the Barber Beefcake going to be at StarCast. I find it strange that WWE, who is so upset about The Undertaker being at the show, would allow Kurt Angle to go to the show after that. Unless Kurt Angle is not only wrapping up his career with WWE, but his relationship with WWE. Now, maybe somebody's gotten through to Vince and explained, like, listen, this StarCast thing has nothing to do with All Elite Wrestling, even though many of their stars will be there. I find it even funnier that the person who broke the news that Kurt Angle was going to be at StarCast was Cody Rhodes. I found that to be incredibly coincidental. But it'll be very cool for the people who are going to be at StarCast. You get to see Kurt Angle, get to see some of the other stars. So, and that roster for StarCast just continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So check that out. I want to touch on John Oliver. It's been a big topic this week in the world of professional wrestling. He put out this like 20-some minute rant on HBO about WWE, and he did a whole lot of... One of the things I have an issue with is he talked about how horribly WWE treats their superstars, and he referenced people's complaints about the company. Many of the clips that were in his video that he showed, like, for example, he did a bit where Bret Hart was complaining about the way Vince McMahon treats wrestlers. The clip that he used was from Bret Hart wrestling with Shadow, which I believe was recorded in 1998. I have it on VHS tape. You can't even get it on DVD. And it was back when Bret Hart was still bitter about the Montreal Screwjob. So obviously, those opinions may not even be remotely the same now. Not to mention, everything about WWE is different now. We have a performance center where they very much regulate how you work out, what kind of food you intake, how to set up your training program. They have mats and security and protocols that are designed to keep your wrestlers safe. That's something you didn't have back in the day. Now, they reference Roddy Piper and talk about how he predicted he wouldn't live to see 65, which came true when he passed away at 61 or whatever. And I get that. But Roddy Piper led a fast lifestyle during the heyday of fast lifestyles in the professional wrestling business. As a matter of fact, if you look at all the talents who have met an untimely demise, and we report on them every time something happens here, there's always a reason. They reference King Kong Bundy passing away just now. Just for the record, and I love King Kong Bundy. I think he is an incredibly underappreciated superstar. But let's be honest, Bundy spent the better part of his life being a almost 500-pound man. You can't tell me that doesn't take a toll on your heart. And now he was 61 years old when he passed away, and he was still an incredibly big man. Is that wrestling related, or is that just you ate too much food? And I know it's soon. I know he just passed away recently. But let's be honest here. When you look at go down the litany of people who have passed away in the pro wrestling industry, yes, there's a lot of them that are young, but you have to look at circumstances. I watched the one documentary that talked about Dino Bravo. Dino Bravo was shot because he went into a drug deal that went bad because he got mixed up with the wrong people. Gino Hernandez, who passed away in his early 20s because he was involved in a drug cartel and swallowed cocaine. Like, these are not things that have anything to do with the wrestling business. It has to do with living the high life, living a fast life, and getting involved with people you shouldn't get involved with. Now, that's not everybody, but you've got plenty of people who committed suicide. Look, Sean O'Hare was one of my favorite wrestlers in the 90s, heading into the 2000s, when WCW, he came in as a tag team wrestler, came to WWE with Roddy Piper in 05. I loved Sean O'Hare. But let's face it, the guy did fizzled out in wrestling, went into mixed martial arts, went into boxing, became a hairdresser, hated his life, and took his own life. And it's very sad for his family, but that had nothing to do with wrestling. It had to do with failing at all the different endeavors he went into. There are people who suffer unimaginable consequences based on their in-ring careers, and some people who lose their career very young. You know, one of the documentaries I saw referenced Droz, who, if you don't remember who Darren Drozdoff was, he was the football player who could regurgitate on command, and he became a road warrior, and then he hurt his back, and he's been in a wheelchair, a paraplegic ever since. Well, that happened because of a botched move, yes. So does he fall under the category of doing risky moves and being a victim of the wrestling business? Maybe. But he doesn't complain about it. He's a class act. He's turned his negative into a positive. You know? There's so many wrestlers who went down a path because they made bad choices. And that's what led to their untimely demise. It's not all about being in the ring. I saw an article this week from Billy Jack Haynes. Billy Jack Haynes loves to lament how horrible WWE was. He was in WWE for a cup of coffee. The guy wrestled for 30 years. He was in WWE for a year, maybe a year and a half. He had one match at WrestleMania against Hercules. It was beyond forgettable. Nothing else. So at the end of the day, Billy Jack Haynes likes to complain that WWE cost him such a quality of life because of concussions and everything else. He wrestled in Pacific Northwest for like 15, 20 years. He wrestled for the NWA and World Class and AWA for years. But they, I guess, don't matter because they're not around anymore. Let's play all the blame on WWE. Don't get me wrong. I have no problem giving WWE flack when they deserve it. But complaining about concussion syndromes and things like that and not taking care of talent, that has become an antiquated perspective. People who stay up on the business now know WWE is all over their talent. That's why people have gotten suspended. That's why they were making fun of it this past week on SmackDown. You know, Randy Orton, who was missing time because he was out with drug suspensions. He was. AJ Styles, that wasn't a shoot. I'm sure it was scripted for him, but it was based on reality. And that's the way it's changed. Now talents are tested, and it's random. And it's one of the best testing protocols in all of sports. It does have flaws. That's why people like Brock Lesnar can fail a drug test and not be penalized by WWE, because he's a part-time worker, so he does not subject to the same stringent policies as a full-time worker. I think that's ridiculous. If he's a champion, he should be. But it's different now than it was in the 80s. So I'm going to move past this because I could stay on this all night. John Oliver, he needs to do his homework. WWE actually sent out a statement, at the end of their statement, they invited him to go to WrestleMania so he could see how they do business now. I would love to see how he'd react to that. There are some plans for Elias. People know Elias is supposed to be doing this musical presentation. What a waste of an incredible in-ring talent. You know WWE's got too many people crowding the top of the card when you got to take somebody as good as Elias and put him in a singing segment because you have nothing better for him to do. You didn't even put him in the Battle Royal. But the word is someone is going to come out, interrupt his ceremony, and lay him out. Now, I've heard that it could be Lars Sullivan. It could be The Undertaker. It could be Kane, who is also in town for the show. So we'll have to wait and see. But what a waste of a guy who only a month ago, month and a half ago, had become a babyface and a good one. People love the guy all of a sudden, and right away you flip him back to being a heel because he didn't know what to do with your card, and so now we're just kind of, his character lost all his momentum, and he's gone back to being almost like a glorified mid-card, you know, jobber. Yeah, he picks up a win here and there, but in the end, he's doing nothing of importance, and he won't be doing anything of importance at Mania either. Tommaso Ciampa in the news talking about the doctors telling him after this surgery on his neck, he is on borrowed time if he goes back to the ring. What a tough thing to come to terms with. And I really hope that he takes his time, heals up properly, and comes back in a way that is not going to risk his long-term vitality. I know a lot of people always used to talk way back.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In the day about Bruno Sammartino when he broke his neck, how he took time to heal before he came back. A lot of wrestlers nowadays, especially in the 90s, early 2000s, didn't do that. They would get hurt. They'd rush back. They were always worried about losing their spot, which is something John Oliver complained about, which is not as big a thing nowadays. You can lose your spot for a lot of things in WWE nowadays, but usually injury isn't one of them. As a matter of fact, because we don't have the spontaneous reactions of people jumping from WCW to WWE and back and forth anymore, we got to find spontaneity somewhere else. So an injured wrestler making a return is one of their big pops. So you don't necessarily lose your spot anymore for getting hurt. Now it's actually quite the opposite. Getting hurt can be the best way to reintroduce your character because you're gone for a little while. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Out of sight, out of mind. When you show up again like Kevin Owens, people exploded for him because they hadn't seen him in so long. Who, by the way, still has like no plan for WrestleMania. There was talk of adding him to the Rey Mysterio, the AJ Styles Randy Orton match. Didn't happen, but we'll have to wait and see what they do with him. There's a chance he may be the replacement for Rey Mysterio in the United States Championship match. We'll have to wait and see. By the way, speaking of WrestleMania matches, if you haven't done so already, those people who are Patreons to the Fro Wrestling Podcast, remember, patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast, got early access to a tournament that we started that's going this week. Each day, we introduce another round of the tournament, and we are doing the greatest matches of WrestleMania. We chose one match for each WrestleMania as its representative and bracketed them out in a tournament fashion. We had a few play-in matches, like we had Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker against Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar to try to narrow that down, and that played into a match into the next round. And we had a couple pigtail matches just to get it to an even 32 field, and that's where we're at right now. So if you go to frowrestling.com right now, you can actually cast your vote. The voting will close tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. for this round of voting, but get in your votes. Let us know what you think about the tournament brackets. We're going to see what you guys choose as the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. Go to FroWrestling.com, go to the tournament section in the middle of the page, and there are two blocks of voting to do. 8 matches in one, 8 matches in the other. Pick the matches that are going to go into the Sweet 16 round of the tournament. So, moving on. The final WWE Hall of Fame inductee was announced. We mentioned earlier Brutus the Barber Beefcake. We kind of knew that was coming for several weeks. I'm not surprised by it, but it only further makes it clear why Hulk Hogan is being brought to the event. I know they wanted to bring Hogan back into the fold, but it seems like they've been doing that, like dipping their toes in the water and only bring him in when he really needs to be there. And obviously, if Beefcake is being inducted, then he kind of has to be there. Let's face it, Brutus Beefcake wouldn't have had a career without Hulk Hogan. Even if you go before WWE days, they were together in Memphis. When he got to WWE, Brutus Beefcake came in back when they paired him with Luscious Johnny Valiant. Hogan had a series of matches with him in 86, 87. Then when he became the Barber in 87 after WrestleMania 3, when he came out to help Roddy Piper cut the hair of adorable Adrian Adonis, that's when he went babyface. And after, you know, a couple years as just an average babyface, his big pop, in my opinion, started in 1989. When he and Hulk Hogan took on Zeus and Randy Savage at SummerSlam. That's where he really got put into a main event spot because, you know, he had No Holds Barred, the movie came out. Hogan was over huge. Zeus was about as horrible a worker as there is. So you had Randy Savage carrying the matches for the bad guys. And you got to see Brutus Beefcake in probably what was his highest profile matches ever, main eventing SummerSlam and the No Holds Barred pay-per-view, which I don't know if anybody remembers that, but they showed the movie and then they had the match. They had Savage and Zeus against Hogan and Beefcake in a cage or something like that. And that was crazy back then. But Brutus Beefcake, a good part of his career is all because of Hulk Hogan. Yes, he had feuds with people like Mr. Perfect and the Honky Tonk Man over the Intercontinental title that he was never able to capture. He did have one tag team championship reign with Greg the Hammer Valentine at WrestleMania 2. They lost the belts to the British Bulldogs. They're the team that launched the Bulldogs' career. They won the belts from Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda back in like 1985, the summer of 85. He had a lot of exciting parts of his career. He went to WCW where he was the Booty Man and in the Kevin Sullivan's Faces of Fear or whatever faction he had. Then he became, you know, the muscle for the NWO at one point. Like he had all these weird gimmicks they gave him. But and that I feel like all took away from his career. But the time in WWE was amazing. He even came back from that horrible parasailing accident where a guy crashed into his face and destroyed his face, all the screws and plates and bolts in his face, and came back to co-main event WrestleMania 9 with Hulk Hogan challenging Money Inc. for the tag titles and what ended in like one of the worst finishes in any tag team match in history, which was only to set up Hulk Hogan winning the world championship later. But he has done so many things. So I believe Brutus Beefcake belongs in the Hall of Fame. You won't hear me say that about certain people, but you'll hear me say that about Brutus Beefcake. I'm happy he's going in, and I'm happy he's going in the same year as the Honky Tonk Man. I think that's valuable to have the two go together. A lot of reaction from Naomi on Twitter, people like Tyler Breeze, Luke Harper, all complaining about their booking, and I feel like this is directly related to the fact that All Elite Wrestling is out there, Impact Wrestling's been signing people, Ring of Honor's been signing people. I feel like talents are getting almost a little too gutsy with venting their frustration about their booking. Somebody I saw was giving her guff online that like she was complaining about she was tired of sitting and catering and doing nothing when she wants to do the thing that she loves and all this other stuff. And the reality is she's not complaining when she's taking home that fat paycheck, living that beautiful life that they have. Okay? She leads a good life and her husband just got a sizable raise. Okay, I understand you want to be in the ring, and I want you to be in the ring. She is an incredible ambassador for the women's division, and with all this debate over Kofi Kingston, lest we forget, Naomi, one of the real African-American women's world champion, okay? She was SmackDown Women's Champion. It's a beautiful thing. She is a role model for young women, and to see the way she interacts with people on Twitter and the way she's been venting her frustration, I know why she's stressed. But somebody actually pointed out to her, like, you were booked for the Battle Royal. You're still booked for the Battle Royal. You didn't lose anything. And she argued back that, like, the Fatal 4-Way that was supposed to catapult into a match against Asuka for somebody for a shot at WrestleMania. That being pulled made it so she couldn't help other people get to where they were supposed to be. I get that. I do. I totally get that. But it didn't change her place on the card. And the people who were supposed to be moving up into that spot, whether it's Liv Morgan or whoever, I get that. I get that you wanted to help other talents. Or I said Liv Morgan. Anyways, not the point. The point is that no matter who she was trying to elevate, she was still going to be where she was going to be. And WWE made the decision they did because the show's already going to be 8 hours long and they don't have time for all these matches. So putting the SmackDown Championship on Charlotte eliminates one match that they don't now have to budget any time for. I'd rather you didn't have a SmackDown Women's Championship match if it's going to be a crock of nonsense you have to fast forward through in 3 minutes or else it's irrelevant. Like, don't even have that match. And I understand the Asuka fans are livid, and I was too. I would love for Asuka still to be champion. Let her win the Battle Royal and win the championship back later. Or do something. I don't know. If she wins the Battle Royal, she's allowed to challenge for either championship. She challenges for the SmackDown. She wins it, and that way you separate the brands. I don't know. I'm booking off the top of my head. But do something of substance. But Naomi, look, she won the Battle Royal last year. She wants to complain that she never got her championship match because storyline never fed into her getting one. Give her a championship match this year. Have that be the storyline. Whoever wins this year, have her come out and complain that she never got her match. Give her her match. Give the new person their match and just make that Battle Royal meaningful. You know, do something. Tyler Breeze, him complaining, he thinks he's more valuable than he's being used. I would agree with him, but what are you going to do, man? Seriously, you're under contract. You are getting television time, even if it is only the main event, which, by the way, I've seen you on Raw, so it's not just the main event. His Tay had a tag team program with Fandango. He got hurt. Sorry it's taking a long time for him to get back, but he got hurt. You were well entrenched. People loved the Fashion Files, and actually, I'm sure Vince hated the Fashion Files, but he was letting them run because you guys were getting over. Like, stop complaining. If you don't want to be a part of a tag team and creative can't come up with anything, go ahead. Be that guy who asked for their release. But you haven't. You know why? Because you're getting paid really well. Now, I get the passion to want to perform, but gosh, come on, man. Like, we got to stop having wrestlers dictate to the promotions their terms. You sign a contract, you honor it. Brock Lesnar, people get mad at Brock for not appearing more. Yeah, he not paid to appear more. You guys are paid to appear more, and you're complaining that you're not on TV more, but you're still getting paid, you know, better than you would, you know, because they expect you to be on television. Like, just stop complaining. Luke Harper, just getting back from injury, already complaining about how he was at Mania this year and that year and the other year, and now he's on Access doing this silly tournament. Like, come on, dude. You can't just rush you out the door for Mania. They've been doing this thing with Rowan and Daniel Bryan. You don't fit that script. Now, if anybody has a right to be upset, it's Bray Wyatt, but he's in New York, so I suspect that maybe he'll attack Elias, or maybe he'll be in the Battle Royal. It'd be kind of weird for him to be in the Battle Royal with the Hardy Boys in there. What happens when it comes down to the three of them? That, by the way, might be my prediction for the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, and Bray Wyatt be the last three in the ring. We'd be really curious how they would book that if that was what it came down to. Mark it down. I said it here first. Those three will be the last three in the Battle Royal. I'm making that my prediction. We have a prediction episode coming up Saturday night. But for now, that's my prediction. I might change my mind before then, but we'll see. I'll have to wait and see. So, perks and pitfalls of a 3-hour SmackDown. That's the word, is that Fox wants 3 hours of SmackDown every week. I think that's insane. If we haven't seen anything that we can verify more, it's that when Raw went to 3 hours, it was not a good thing. And we also agreed about a year ago that they were never going to change Raw because they make too much advertising money. And that's probably the biggest motivator here for SmackDown. But gosh, at what point in time do the wrestling fans become the ones you cater to, not the advertisers? You know, we're the ones who want good programming. I'd rather have a 30-minute program if it meant that it was going to be nonstop real action. I was going to appreciate it. Now there's so many talking segments. It's really like, it's not Monday Night Raw. It's like Monday Night Medium Rare. They really need to just get away from all the speaking points and get back to wrestling. Cultivate more talent. Showcase more talent. If you're going to go to 3 hours, they better be showcasing talent. Now, I know Fox wants a more reality-based and more gruff presentation. Maybe that'll help. Maybe it'll help some of these guys get over more. I don't know. Two former world champions in New York City. We mentioned before, Kane is in town and Bray Wyatt. Hopefully both of them get a role at WrestleMania, but the one that really is shocking is Eve Torres is in town, and the rumor is that she may be headed to the Women's Battle Royal, which would be a really cool
surprise entrant. I mean, they've only announced 13 women for the Battle Royal. You know, you got to have more than that. There's like 22 for the men's. Where are all the women? I mean, there's no NXT people been announced for either Battle Royal. They need to do that. So if I were them, you know, Gargano would be in, Io Shirai, Kairi Sane, Shayna Baszler, like people like that would all be in the women's Battle Royal. Not sure what they're going to do with that yet, but Eve Torres, there's got to be a reason they would bring her in, and I suspect it'll be for the Battle Royal. Somebody who may not be around very much longer, maybe at the Battle Royal, but not much longer after that, would probably be Rhino, who looks like he's going to let his contract run out at the end of, I believe, July, and then maybe he'll be riding off in the sunset to do something else. It sounds like he's not in the long-term plans of WWE. I know they've been playing up that angle of him retiring and things, and he actually does have some business ventures he's interested in doing, but we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. And see what happens. I have John, the sports guy in Marfa, Texas, has a thing on. He said, SmackDown on Fox can do side-by-side during matches for commercials, and that would, you know, increase the revenue. And I agree. And the thing is, if you're doing a three-hour show, kind of like they're doing SmackDown now, they do the commercial thing now, but with 3 hours of SmackDown, I can't imagine what they're going to be charging for that commercial time. And it's insane. It really is nuts, because what happens is, it's a wrestling show that is no longer about wrestling. It's about commercials and talking. I want to see the wrestling. I don't even care about all this other stuff. I want to see the in-ring action. That's what we're missing in WWE programming. They're always talking about, like, what can they do to make the shows better? Give us wrestling. We're wrestling fans. That's what we want. There is potential that there is an angle laid down for Dean Ambrose at WrestleMania. The word is that there's a possibility that if Dean Ambrose really is, you know, was going to leave, and for some reason has changed his mind, that potentially Dean Ambrose, because he's that lunatic fringe character, may come out of nowhere and attack Baron Corbin, leading to Dean Ambrose facing Kurt Angle at WrestleMania. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Dean Ambrose is a premium superstar wrestler. Kurt Angle has given so much to this industry, he deserves to go out with somebody who is a top-flight talent. And Dean Ambrose is a guy who can deliver that match. He hasn't been overly successful recently. He hasn't been winning every match. So he and Kurt Angle, you wouldn't know who would win. And it really wouldn't matter who won. You know, at the end of the day, if he's re-signed, you have Dean Ambrose win. If he hasn't, maybe have him do the honors for Kurt Angle because he's on his way out the door. But it would be a nice way to get Ambrose involved without having to promote him very much as he's getting ready to leave the company and still give him something of substance to do that doesn't require a program after Mania. He could literally ride off into the sunset, as will Kurt Angle. Tennille Dashwood, formerly known as Emma in WWE, is a free agent. She got her release from Ring of Honor, and now there's rumblings that she may be headed to All Elite Wrestling. They have been bolstering their women's division significantly to the point that it really can challenge the WWE locker room for women, female talent, as well as the knockouts. Tessa Blanchard and Gail Kim are amazing, but after that, the Impact Wrestling knockouts division has taken some hits lately. So I would argue that Impact Wrestling may have two of the best, if not the best, wrestlers in the world in Tessa Blanchard and Gail Kim. But when you look at the depth and the breadth of the women's divisions of AEW and WWE, even Women of Honor, they're all pretty solid recently. So women's wrestling, it's not just WWE, across the world has gotten significantly better. So good for them. I'm glad they're finally getting their fair due and a fair handshake on wrestling and match presentation. Now the only thing we need is for them to get paid the same way. Michelle McCool's been vocal about that on Twitter recently, as have many others. Jeannie Buss is trying to do that with her WOW promotion. It just got renewed for a second season. So we'll have to see. But Tennille Dashwood would fit anybody's locker room, and hopefully she gets a prime position. I think Ring of Honor really wasted her time there, and then she got injured, and they wrote her out of storylines. They let her out of her contract. But hopefully she has some good things in her future. New Japan superstar Juice Robinson has accepted Bully Ray's challenge for the G1 Supercard show at Madison Square Garden. That show is so stacked from top to bottom. This week is going to be insane. By the way, before I forget to say it, Michael Elgin, also a free agent, his contract ran out March 31st with New Japan Pro Wrestling, so he is leaving the country. He will also be available for some of these indie shows, and that's what I wanted to lead into with this whole G1 Supercard thing, and this is our final topic for this episode, is the schedule for this week. Whether you're talking about the Bloodsport show that's going to be going on with Minoru Suzuki, or you're talking about Joey Ryan's party, or you're talking about Joey Janela's get-together, or you're talking about their G1 Supercard, or just about every promotion you can think of, Impact Wrestling tomorrow night, everybody's got something going on. If you're a wrestling fan, starting tomorrow night, you're like, it's like insane the amount of wrestling going on across the country. I actually haven't seen a lot of Pro Wrestling Guerrilla listed for this weekend, which is kind of shocking. Like, you would think every company would jump on the bandwagon, but there is so much going on, and I hope that all you fans out there get the opportunity to tune into so much wrestling action. Just WWE alone, starting tomorrow, running all the way through next Tuesday, has something insane going pretty much all day, every day, whether it's at Access or in the evenings with, you know, the Hall of Fame, the NXT TakeOver, WrestleMania, Raw, SmackDown, or it's during the day when they have these Worlds Collide tournaments going on and NXT UK tapings and NXT tapings and Women Worlds Collide things going on, like all this insanity. And that's just WWE. That's without all these independent shows. You guys know, if you tune into my podcast, you know that I am a huge proponent of independent wrestling. As a matter of fact, if you go to frowrestling.com, there's a tab at the top that says Indie Events. You know, I'm on frowrestling.com right now as I sit here, and I'm clicking on the Indie Events tab. When you scroll down the page, I mean, the first one that pops up, Warrior Wrestling has a show. Tessa Blanchard will be there. SWO is Susquehanna Wrestling Organization. They have a show coming up. I see New Jack is on one of the shows. Excellence Pro Wrestling has, their entire company is based on like cats. They have a show coming up, which it's incredible. It's strange. It's weird. It's unique. You know, Triple WA, who I've always been a huge fan of, they have their 39th anniversary extravaganza coming to the Coventry Mall in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. There's all these companies that have these great offerings. If you want to book ahead, May the 4th be with you. But if you're going to do something that day, go down to Philadelphia and go check out Chikara, because they've got a May the 4th show. You know, there's just all these different things. Go to my webpage, frowrestling.com, and check out the Indie Events tab and see what's coming to an area near you, because there is so much out there. While you're at it, go to Infro's Corner. That's my blog. That's where I put up my own articles. Right now, the most recent article I put up was Main Event Mayhem, and it was, I published it just before they made the announcement of the Women Main Eventing Mania. I have a new article that I'm in the process of writing now. If you want to check out other stuff, we all have our favorite sites, you know, eWrestling News, WrestleZone.com, Wrestling Inc., F4W Online, all of them, Cage Side Seats, Ringside News, all of them. They're all great. But check out www.tsj101sports.com. They do all sports, but they include professional wrestling. You don't find a lot of websites that include pro wrestling with a real sport. Webpage. And I say that because, you know, it is a scripted exhibition wrestling. So not that they're not sportsmen and not that they're not athletes, but let's be honest, it's not a real competition. So most sites that do that, they don't emphasize professional wrestling. TSJ101sports.com does. So check that out if you get a chance. But definitely get involved in the independent wrestling scene. There's just way too much out there to not be a part of that crowd. And some of it is some of the best wrestling you'll ever see in your life. I promise you that. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next episode. We'll run down all the latest wrestling news and rumors. Special thanks, as always, goes out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all the music and sound effects we use on our show. Today's podcast, sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this game from Beazle Games by going to frowrestling.com and clicking the icon in the middle of the screen to pick up your copy today. AlleyRepair.com. Contact Alley Repair today for servicing of all your classic skee ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. Are you sick and tired of dropping $60 to $100 for the latest and greatest wrestling video game? Stop immediately and go to Wrestler Unstoppable, available exclusively through Facebook. Create your wrestler, sign contracts, get involved in storylines, headline pay-per-views, even build your own corporation, all included in Wrestler Unstoppable, available now to all Facebook users totally free. If you're looking for your next career move, maybe you want to try college, university life, you just need some formal training for that next career decision, go to our sister website at frolifeplanning.com for all your higher education needs, as Frolife Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life. with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you for taking some time with us tonight. If you're looking for more wrestling news and rumors, as I say, go to www.tsj101sports.com for their latest articles on the world of professional wrestling. Check out my blog, Infro's Corner, for my pieces, and support indie wrestling. Go to my indie events tab if you can. Patreon members, patreon.com/frowrestlingpodcast. Sponsor today. We're on a drive to 5,000 subscribers. We hit 1,500 today. We're shooting for 5 grand. Subscribe, people. We love you. Till next time, take care. Have a great night. We'll be right back.